many ways. Vision Sunday, where we stop and we pause to look back with grateful heart. We take time to consider what God is doing now, and also as we think and dream, and we have our eyes and hearts lifted to the future as well. So it's a special day and a special welcome to you. In about 15 minutes or so, Kids Zone will be heading out. Mini Zone will be going upstairs, and Creche, you have a promotion. Creche is going to be in the upper room, so you head all the way down the hall, and it's the room above the kitchen. Okay? So, before we start anything else, we want to lift our eyes to King Jesus, and that's what we're going to do in our first song. Thanks, Davina. Margaret Evans, Tuesday morning, weighing in at 7 pounds, 8 ounces, some great news. And also today, Evie's birthday today. Happy birthday, Evie. High five. Oh, bless Evie, eh? Okay, so, Kids Zone, diamonds and rubies, out you come. I need you all down here. Out you come. Now I know there's far more. Quick. How you feel? I won't embarrass you too much. No, I won't. You can trust me. Hello, mate. You've been promoted. Yeah. Hiya, mate. Okay, so this morning, Vision Sunday. I don't know about you, but this day excites me. Because I have a real, real sense that God has been at work amongst us and is at work and has stacks for us. Perhaps a whole reservoir for us. Now, part of Vision Sunday is reminding ourselves of who we are and what we're all about. Vision Sunday. Now, you guys, as you know, I think you're a brilliant, amazing bunch of diamonds and rubies. Now, I need help. So, I tell you what, can you all stand here right in the middle? Right. Because as you know, the heart of the vision is Jesus. Now, let me just read you this verse. Oh, before you do that, can you all breathe in? And then breathe out. Just checking. Okay, one moment. This is what the Bible tells us about Jesus. All things have been created by Jesus for Jesus. So, as you breathe in, and then breathe out, keep going. You might just fall over. I want you to consider that every single breath has been given to you from Jesus. So that every breath you take is for Jesus. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. Okay. Okay. So because of Jesus, because of who he is and what he has done, we have three parts to our commission. The first is that all of our hearts, this is what you need to do. All of our hearts belong to King Jesus. So when I say the word communion, I want you to go, ah. Okay, let me just check. Spread out maybe a little bit more, because these people want to see your beautiful faces. Colin, you go to the front, yeah. Okay, so communion. Okay, now community is everybody in together. Okay, all snuggle in. Now, make a circle, and you need to put your hand inside and grab somebody else's arm. Not scarily, just nicely. Put everybody in. So, that's it. Grab somebody else's arm. Okay? So, when I say the word community, we all come in like this. So, communion. Community. Now, this end part, which is so, so important to the heart of Jesus, is commission. Now, commission is a little bit more complicated, but what we do is, with one hand, we hold somebody else's hand, and the other hand, we stretch out like that, and look at everybody else. Does that make sense? Okay. One, two, three. Communion. Community. Commission. Okay. Now guys, let us just pray together now as a church family. Father God, we thank you so much for this simple picture. And that is exactly what we want to be, from the youngest to the oldest. People who have just been thrilled to bits by you, Jesus. People who have been rescued by you, saved by you, rescued by you, forgiven by you, set free by you and filled by you. And thank you, Father, that you've called us into this relationship with you, into this life together with other Christians, but you've also called us to this city to be your people, a people in commission. So we pray these things, that this will become a reality more and more to each one of us, individually and as a church family. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys are brilliant. Okay, we're going to sing one more song. Great big God before you guys. Yeah. You guys stay out.
Lenny and I aren't that great at doing the actions, and this one definitely got lots of actions. Our God is a great big God. So if the kids can teach the adults the actions, and then we can all be doing it and praising God together, that would be great.
Oh,
just, hold on. So when I mention the word Jesus, I want you to be able to go, because every breath is given by Him, for Him. And then I mention the word communion. And then community. And then, what was the last word?
Commission.
Brilliant. Okay, guys, have a fantastic time at Kids Zone, Crash, Mini Zone, as your opportunity to head out as well.
Sunday. And we're going to sing a song together. Let's get the words up on the screen here. It's a song you may not be 100% familiar with. We're going to move into a time of communion now. And this is a magnificent song. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us, slain for each one of us. The promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. All, that includes me, includes you, who come in faith to the cross, find forgiveness. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. We're going to meditate on this song a little bit as we later have communion together. But let's sing it through now. I'm going to ask the band just to sing verse 1 for us, and then we'll sing it together, and then Peter Fleck's going to come and lead us from the word into a time of communion together. Let's stand. Let the band sing the first verse, and that will join. seat, and Peter's going to come and lead us through the word into communion.
Good morning, everybody. And it is a privilege for me to be able to lead you this morning in communion. Communion, as I get older, is one of those beautiful things about Christianity. The opportunity just as a family to gather together in community, gather together and have communion with God. There are many emotions go on when we have communion, and three of the most important ones in which we can have, in which I personally have been through each of them in my life when I come to the communion. The first one is one of confession, and there are many times when I'll be honest to say that I haven't been in the place I need to be with Christ, and I come to the communion table and it's an opportunity for me just to confess before the Lord the sins which I have been through in that week or the place where I'm at. And just the wonderful restoration that we're able to have through the breaking of bread and communion with my fellow brothers and sisters. And that is the joy that we're not doing this together and separate, we're doing this as a family. We can come, if we have sinned, to confess before the Lord, and He will forgive us. And that is a true joy. Secondly, I've come before communion and had an opportunity just to be thankful. And just be thankful to the Lord for what He has done in my life, and what He's been thankful just for the opportunity He has given us. And so maybe for some people here, it's an opportunity just to be thankful to the Lord for something that's happened recently. And there's other times where it's just been a sheer act of worship, an act of adoration, where there's no other words to say but just to bow at the feet of Jesus and just acknowledge who He is and just to bask in His glory. Maybe just for a few minutes, I just want to look at a few different people's responses in the Bible to Jesus. And as the bread and the wine is passed around later, maybe you want to meditate on these people's responses, and depending on where you are at a particular moment. First of all, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, we have the thief on the cross. And the thief on the cross acknowledged who Jesus was, and his words to Jesus were, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." So maybe there's somebody here who, in the circumstances around them, it seems that there's no hope for you. Or maybe you're just wrecked by sin, you're wrecked by the consequences of your life. Maybe you just want to say to Jesus as the bread passes, "Remember me," and just cry out to Him. Secondly, in John chapter 20, verse 28, we have doubting Thomas. Maybe there's somebody here who is a Christian, but for a long time now has struggled to see God, has struggled to have any connections with Him. Maybe you're just doubting what all this Christianity is about. You're doubting whether indeed we are a family, you're doubting all that's happening. But maybe in the realization this morning, you can come and you can, at Jesus' feet, say, "My God and my Lord," when you see His outstretched hands. Thirdly, Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20, verse 16. Mary looks around for Jesus and can't find Him. He has been risen, and she's constantly looking, trying to find where He is. And when Jesus revealed Himself to her, she simply says, "Rabboni," my teacher, my master. Maybe you're this morning have been looking around trying to find Jesus. You're really seeking Him. Maybe it's an opportunity just to turn to Him and say, "Rabboni, my teacher, my master." And what about the Apostle John on Patmos in Revelation 1 verse 17? Jesus revealed Himself, and in an act of worship, just in the awe of His glory, John fell to His feet. "When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead." And maybe for you this morning is an opportunity just to bow at the feet of Jesus, either metaphorically or if you want physically, and just say, "My Lord and my God." And then finally, maybe you're not a Christian here this morning and you've been seeking after Jesus. The Samaritan woman of John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, she was constantly trying to find out, and she says to Jesus just before the end of the passage, "I know the Messiah is coming." But Jesus turns around to them and says, "I am He." And maybe it's an opportunity for you to turn to Jesus and seek for Him. Well, can we just briefly pray, and then I'll hand back to Peter, and then we'll take the bread and wine. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice in your word that we're able to see and bless people and how they were able to respond to you. Help us now as the bread and the wine pass through, as we remember your act of your life, your death and your resurrection, your current glory sitting at the right hand of the Father. Help us, Father, just to meditate upon where we are now currently in our daily walk. Help us confess the sin. Help us to be thankful and rejoice. And above all, help us to worship the sin in your glory. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. Let's just have the words of that song up again, if we can. Just a few thoughts to meditate on. Peter Quant is then going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll break bread together. Slain for us, the promise made, all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. We'll spend a moment meditating on that. The Lord Jesus, slain for you. And as you come in faith to that cross, forgiveness is complete, it's total. Let's look at the second verse. His body torn for you. In a moment we'll tear this bread in pieces, reminding us of the suffering of our Lord Jesus, the wounds that heal, the death, his death, that brings us life, price completely paid. Let's look at the next verse. Cleanses every stain. He drained death's cup. As we take these small cups this morning, let's remember that phrase, he drained death's cup, that all may enter in to receive the life of God. He gave his life that we might receive life. Now let's look at the final verse. How do we respond? With thankfulness and with faith we rise. Call to follow in the steps of Christ. The cross not only saves us, it is the symbol of our walk with Christ. We're called to follow in the steps of the crucified Christ. As his body, we share, we join around the table. It's one loaf, speaking to us of one body, one family together around the cross. Let's take a moment to reflect on Peter's words to us. Confession. Maybe a moment just to examine our hearts. Confession. Sheer thankfulness. And worship. And then those five responses at the cross. Remember me. Maybe we need to bring our doubts to the cross. Anyone doubting the degree of God's love, bring those doubts to the cross. And as you take the bread and as you drink that cup, just to remember the extent of his love. And you'll want to fall at his feet and you'll want to say, Rabboni. You'll want to say, teacher, master. Peter, if you could just lead us and give thanks for the bread and the wine, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we can remember. We so often forget. But today, this morning, we want to remember. We want to remember the old covenant people of God who look forward to your coming, who look forward to all the promises that have been made, for the sacrifices they went and made day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, in anticipation of your coming. And then you came. You came. And you became the sacrifice. You were the high priest. You are. And we thank you that we today can remember that all old things have passed away, and everything, behold, everything has become new in you. And we can glory in that, and we do this morning. We worship you, for you are our God, and we love you. And we thank you. And we praise your wonderful name for who you are and for what you have done. We thank you that we can look at this new covenant, this new relationship that has been made possible through the sacrifice of your body, through the suffering that you had to go through on our behalf, so that we may be free, so that we may live in a new relationship with you. And we look at the wine, we thank you that your blood was for us all and paid the price, the ultimate sacrifice. We thank you from the depths of our very hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we also want to thank you for the new heart that you've given us, for the new relationship, the new covenant, that new oath that you've made, that made it all secure, that made it all absolutely assured that what we have received from you now will be forever. That what we are enjoying now in part, we will enjoy in full. That what we have in you will last forever. And so, Lord, as in frailty, we realize that it's not all there. And as we were reminded this morning, we have so much yet to confess. For we have not done as we ought. We've not behaved as we ought. We've not talked as we ought. Forgive us, Lord. As a body here, gathered together, forgive our sins, we pray. Both individually as well as corporately. We thank you. And as we come now to you in confession, that you will indeed forgive us. As we come to you in faith. And may we also remember, Lord, what you promised us of what lays yet ahead of us. For this is the meal of the new covenant. And so we pray that we may look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where all will be right, where justice will be done, where everything will have been sorted out for your glory, and where we can be assured that at last we will be with you to the full. And as we partake this morning, may we have a taste of heaven, a taste of this new heaven and this new earth. And that with a greater resolve, we may say no to sin and may say yes to Jesus. May say no to disobedience and yes to obedience. So help us to remember today. And may this memory and this remembrance of you lead us forward and help us to live the kind of life that shows forth the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And a further moment just to reflect before we break bread together. Confession. Thankfulness. worship. Amen. Well, that's such a vital part, an expression of such a vital part of our vision as a church, isn't it? Our vision to be people who love God and worship God. But we've been thinking over the past year or two how worship is so much more than just a worship service. It's the giving of the whole of our lives. And we're going to reflect a little bit on the vision and how the vision is being implemented in our local church. But first of all, I want every mother in the congregation to stand up. This is Mothering Sunday. Every mother in the congregation, you never stop being a mother if you have children, to stand up. There are few more important callings in life as a Christian than being a mother. So we want to thank God for these mothers this morning, and we want to pray for them, because they have an absolutely vital role in the life of our church, raising, with dads of course, we do play a small responsibility as well, raising the children of our church. It's also great to see you, Edward, this morning. I was praying for you when I left for America, and it's great to see you this morning. So let's just thank God for these mums, and thank God for Edward being back amongst us. Lord, we thank you for every person standing this morning, and thank you for the great joy that you've given them to be mothers, and the great responsibility as well. And we just want to pray for them, Lord, that you will enable them to be all that you want them to be as mothers of the children that you've given to them. We pray, Lord, there are more great joy in this privilege. Thank you for dads as well, who play a small part. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't want to downplay the role of dads, but great to have them on. Don't forget the parenting evening we're having soon. Just going to learn together. What's that? What's the date? Anybody remember? 12th of April. 12th of April, a parenting evening. We're just going to get together and talk. We've got grandparents coming as well. We're going to talk about the joys and the failures and some successes we've had in bringing up kids. So, what's vision all about? Well, I've got the definition of vision here. Vision grows from a dissatisfaction. That's where vision comes from. A dissatisfaction in things as they are. And it concentrates on what might be, what could be, through the power of God. Any area in your life where there's a dissatisfaction, that's where vision is born. You think, wow, this is not right. My walk with God is not what it should be. The life of this church in this community is not what it should be. That's where vision begins. And it births into a dream of what might be by the power of God. So here's Nehemiah. It's the month of Kislev. And he hears about the situation back in Jerusalem. Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have burned with fire. Vision often starts with information. Nehemiah gets some disturbing information. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And you can feel the dissatisfaction in Nehemiah. This should not be. This is the city of God, and the walls are broken down. The gates have been burned with fire. This should not be. Dissatisfaction. But he doesn't concentrate on the problem. He turns to God. Oh Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love. He doesn't concentrate on the problem. He concentrates on the greatness. Bless you. He concentrates on the greatness of God. And out of that meditation on the problem and the greatness of God, such a vision is born that in 52 days, actually, the whole of the walls of Jerusalem, the gates, are rebuilt. I was in Bolton last night, and I was preaching at the 100th anniversary of the church. And people came from all around, so it was a big congregation. But I was asking about the church I used to go, not 100 years ago, but I used to go about 20 or 30 years ago, and I used to speak at their Saturday night rallies. And they were huge in those days. There were 500 children in the Sunday school. Today in that church there are 18 members. Right in the heart of Bolton, surrounded by people who need Jesus. They're from Pakistan, they're from Bangladesh, there's even a few from England. It's a church that's lost its way. Somewhere along the line, vision died. And they just began to do every week the things they'd always done. And they seemed to do them faithfully. And maybe they felt very satisfied that they were doing them faithfully, week after week. Last Sunday I was in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was preaching in a church of 1,600 people. They've only been going 10 years. They've bought a huge warehouse. Part of the warehouse they've changed into a sort of sanctuary. Other part of the warehouse is offices. Other part of the warehouse is a youth centre. Other part of the warehouse is counselling rooms. And they've looked at their community and they've thought, now what does this community need? And how does the kingdom of God look in this community? And they're into the community in incredible ways, touching the lives of mothers, fathers, workers, divorcees, drug addicts, all kinds of people. They're into the community. And the church is growing so quickly, they can hardly contain its growth. We need to be people of vision. We need to be people who are satisfied with Jesus, totally, but never satisfied about our walk with Jesus, about our impact in the community. There's the famous story of a Swiss mountain guide who was climbing one day and he fell and died. And etched into the rock is his name. And then just these words, he died climbing. And so I want to die. I want to die climbing, knowing more of God's glory. I want to die enjoying more of God's grace and faithfulness. You want to settle down? Christian life's not like that. You're not called to settle down. You're called to constantly be growing in grace, constantly growing in the knowledge of Jesus. And we're called to that as a community. And in order to do that, we need money. Gordon, do we have any money? Come and tell us how we've been doing financially over the last year. This is a sort of annual meeting as well as a Vision Sunday. We're not having a Thursday annual meeting any longer. No more pea and pies. I'm very disappointed. But we are, oh yes, we have got a mic here. And we just pushed the button up there. So this is a bit of an annual meeting as well. It's our financial report.
Basically, before I start, about 2 months ago, I asked anybody who gives regular gifts to Hebron to sign a new gift aid form, one of those things. Emailed it out about 2 months ago and mentioned it at one of the evening service meetings here. Anybody who hasn't signed one this year, if they could sign it and get me back before 5th of April, that would be great. Accounts. I have with me several copies of last year's accounts, anybody wants to see them. I won't bore you with all the details, but basically to sort of highlight the main features, the church account, we brought in just over £99,000 during the course of the year, which sounds wonderful. We spent it as well. Oops, they're escaping. Just to highlight the sort of major items we spent it on, first of all we had 3 employees, Andy, Luke and Rob, and their costs together with sort of the obligatory national insurance was £51,830, so the majority of our actual income disappears that way. General day-to-day maintenance of this place, together with sort of all the consumables we use, was another £14,400. The children's and youth work expenses, £8,142. And then the great thing was we did actually manage to give some money away. We gave away £4,300 to other Christian organisations and full-time workers. Also on these accounts is the missionary account. You may have noticed on the notice sheet every couple of weeks there's another name on the bottom of it, people we support. And as a church we've got about 14 people or sets of people that we support. And during the course of this last couple of years really, we've noticed that the giving on the missionary side has dropped. In fact, it dropped by 7,000 last year, which is a bit of a disappointment to us as leaders. So what we've decided to do from 1st of April is a slightly different route. As leaders, we've committed ourselves to a specific monthly amount to every one of those 14 people that we support. In total, that comes to just over £3,000 a month, which sounds a large amount, but in reality, we spend over £4,000 a month on our own staff, so in proportion, it's not that big an amount. Out of the £3,000, about £1,000 of it comes from individuals in the church who have already earmarked gifts to say they want to support those people. The other £2,000 is going to come from Hebron's general funds. So I would ask you to seriously look at your giving. There's many opportunities to give, and certainly if anybody would like to give specifically to support missionaries, support the missionary work that we're involved with here, then talk to me afterwards. There'll also be a need, as Donald will talk to us later on, for additional funds for exciting building work. We've got various plans, starting off at 108 that we bought recently, along with a few others. So there'll be opportunities to give there. We don't want money for the sake of money. We want money to be able to use it for God's work. Most of us give our time for free. We're fortunate enough to work elsewhere and therefore have enough to live on. So we need to seriously look at what we give to the church and the activities we're involved in. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Gordon. Was the money for the purchase of the shop included in that, or was that a special project?
No, we did have a special project for that which raised us £25,000 during last year, which was quite amazing.
Amen. Well, thank you very much as a body for your faithfulness in giving this past year, especially that extra giving for the purchase of the shop. And thank you, Gordon, for another year of efficient faithfulness in looking after. Well, just a few ways in which we've implemented the vision over this past year or two. How many of you are involved in the Easter booklet, the 40 days, reading and praying through? Hey, that's great, that really is catching on in the church. And many people, I think, are enjoying the thought that we're reading Scripture together, we're reflecting on Scripture together as we work up towards Easter. That was part of the vision which we agreed on a couple of years ago, and by God's help we've been able to implement that the last couple of years. Been an awful lot of work putting this booklet together for this year particularly, hasn't it? It's really an excellent piece of work. And I'm not exactly sure who did it, but thank you very much indeed. Are you going to reveal or who did it? It's a bit of a team.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people smarter than yourself.
All right.
Vivian and Miriam, a lot of people did a lot of stuff.
So to the loads of people who did a lot of stuff, a big, big thank you. It's been extremely helpful. Another thing we identified as we looked at the future of the church was we want to see people in the church released into their mission for God. So we want to help people recognize who they are in God. What are their personalities? How can those personalities be used to the maximum? And what spiritual gifts has God given to us, so that we can recognize that and then use that gift somewhere in the life of the local church. And of course in the past year, quite recently, we've had a series of teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as an eldership, we felt that was a very important subject for us to look at as a church. And if you weren't able to be present for that teaching, you can download, or through Stephen Scott or others, you can get CDs, just so that you catch up with what we're saying about the gifts of the Spirit. Many people in the church got very excited about this thought of the gifts of the Spirit, and that God has given us all gifts, and we need to identify them and use them for His glory. And in our evening session, this is a double session really, Vision Sunday, we're going to be looking at other ways in which we've put the vision to practice tonight. As part of tonight, we're going to look again at spiritual gifts, very briefly. And we're going to give you the opportunity just to ask any questions to the elders about how we understand these things, how we see them being implemented in the coming years. Now we have that day seminar, which some of you were very nervous about, on Myers-Briggs. How many of you attended that? That's amazing. How many of you enjoyed it? Whoa, almost the same number. And our teacher, what was her name? Elka Hansman. She really enjoyed it. I was on the plane just last night, or the night before was it, and I was reading through some of the emails on my computer, and I got an email from Elka saying just how much she'd enjoyed being with us at Hebron. Shall I tell them? Oh, I'll tell them. Shall I tell them? Yeah, I'll tell them. This is the most interesting group she's ever taught. She taught us all over the world. The most interesting group she's ever taught. I said, why was it so interesting? Well, she said, there were such lovely people. I said, come on. Why was it so interesting? She said, it's the most, what do we call it? Introvert, yeah. It's the most introverted group I have ever taught in my life. I said, how many of the people who came were introverts? She said, 83% were introverts. I said to Elka, they were our extroverts. The introverts never came. They wouldn't come near. The real introverts. You had our extroverts. And 83% of them were introverts. It's actually a very interesting fact. And as we seek to lead the church, that's a fact we need to take into consideration. Now, we have one or two things to help us in communion and commission, which we've introduced in the past year. And I'd like Rhoda to come and Naomi. And I'd like to find my microphone. There we go. Rhoda and Naomi. So, Rhoda, one of the things we've introduced in the last year or two is a thing called Mums in Touch. Now, it's Mothering Sunday. Tell us a little bit about Mums in Touch.
Well, we're actually not known as Mums in Touch anymore. Things have moved on. We're now known as Pray and Play.
Pray and Play.
It's quite exciting. Just renamed in the last couple of weeks. The names come from Jude Askew, aptly named by a four-year-old. So we meet together every Thursday. We've been meeting for the last couple of years. And this has been a real time of encouragement, especially to young mums in the church. And we simply come together from 10:30 till 12 noon. And we spend a whole hour of prayer and contemplation from 11 to 12 while our kids are cared for. It's such a time of blessing. And it's grown substantially. We started with four people and we have around 10 to 15 mums meeting every week, and a huge bundle of kiddies as well. So things have shaped and changed over this last couple of weeks, where we're now part of Pray for the City, and there's quite a few mums coming from different churches across the city, and our heart's desire is that this is something for women just to come and pray for the kids of the city.
Amen. So this is really part of communion, because you're getting to know God together. It's also part of community, because you're coming together. And there's a sense in which it's part of commission as well, because you're praying for
them. Definitely. One of our regular prayer points is the mums, the Hector mums, and various other mums that are associated with the church. So it's really exciting. There's exciting pad points to go out onto from here.
Brilliant. And as Naomi speaks, the band could come and take their place. But Naomi, I'd like to know a little bit about Prospects. It's an interesting name. What is it all about?
Prospects is an organization who care for people with learning difficulties, and one of their divisions called Causeway is a special Bible study for people with learning difficulties. So we have a kind of outlook group every first Saturday in the month, where we come together and we have a Bible study, sing and some drama and some arts and crafts.
Sounds absolutely brilliant. Do you enjoy it?
Brilliant, yes, it's amazing.
How many are you getting coming?
Around 5.
Wow.
Just from this church.
Great.
So that's quite good.
So you come together, you sing a little bit, do you?
We start off with some sharing. We share about how our month has been, and then we pray for each other. And then we sing, we look at a passage in the Bible, and we talk a bit about that. We've been talking about the arrest, the trial and the death of Jesus in the last couple of months in the run-up to Easter. And we sing a little more, we eat some cake, we do some craft, or we do a drama, we do some more singing and some praying.
Fantastic. Thank you, ladies. We're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision. We want Jesus himself. He's the center. We've been saying that right through the vision process, haven't we? He's the center of the vision. Let's stand and sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. haven't been at communion, we've been thinking about commission, community.
I want to think a little bit now about commission. Our commission to go into the community and into the world with the good news of our Lord Jesus and his kingship. So, Davina's going to take one of the stools and pancake Tuesday. Who was going to do pancakes with me? Maggie, of course. The pancake queen, Maggie. Come and have a... Davina, you're part of one of our small groups, our Outlook groups. Which group are you part of?
Eastern Village.
Sounded quite exciting there, Eastern Village. And you did something sort of different and special as a group at Christmas. Tell us a little bit about it.
We did a couple of things at Christmas. We did the children's choir. But we also had this sort of, when we were discussing what we would like to do at Christmas, we also had this desire really to bless those that were less fortunate than ourselves. And we had a couple of ideas, but it was Jenny really that came up with the idea in the end that we could try and somehow bless families that were really struggling with poverty really, and that Christmas would be particularly difficult for them with present buying and all of that sort of thing. What we did was I eventually managed to get a contact through a work meeting with Children's Services and approached them and asked if they would like us to provide gifts and maybe a food hamper or something like that for a family. We thought we'd start with one family really and see how we got on. I was really, really pleased because they were so responsive to that. And they came back with a family of 7 children and a mum. And the children were aged between 13 and 4 months. And they said that would be great if we could do something for them. So we basically sort of did an anonymous collection between our group. And then we went shopping and we bought all of the kids both sort of practical present and a nice girly or boyish present toy type thing. We went down the hat, scarf, glove theme, and then we did sort of, for the older girls we did nail polishes and things like that, and for the younger ones we did puzzly craft things. We had such fun buying them. So we did that, and then we wrapped them all fantastically. Miriam was particularly good at that. And they looked stunning. And then we also then went shopping and did, we had so much, we had quite a lot of money, so we had so much money, we decided we had so much, there was so much food that we could buy with it, that we actually did 2 hampers, and when we got to Children's Services, they were really, really chuffed, and I was just so impressed. Sometimes you feel a little bit reluctant to say, you know, we're a church, we'd like to, wondered if you could, would you really like us to help? And they'd go, no, don't be ridiculous. We can't give you that sort of information and we don't want your help, thanks. But they weren't like that at all. They were really receptive. And I brought the email that we got from the girl that was the sort of link. It just says, I've just seen the gifts and food. Thank you and everyone who contributed. They are really lovely. The social worker is delivering them this afternoon. The mum of the children was getting worried about Christmas, and this will certainly help her and give the message that people do care, and we will make sure she is aware where the gifts have come from. We included a Christmas card with just a little message and an invitation to the services here over Christmas. And it was, I mean, we just really enjoyed doing it, but for the idea as well was just to bless people with the message of love at Christmas, really. And certainly I think it's something we would love to do again next Christmas, and potentially it's something that as a church we could do a lot more of next Christmas, and it would be great if people wanted to get involved in that because it was fab.
Isn't that absolutely brilliant? Yeah. And they all came on the Christmas services and they all got converted, is that right? No, it isn't. They didn't all come and they didn't all get. So was it a failure? No. Where the kingdom of God is, some will be converted, but all will be blessed. We have to bring the news of Jesus, the love of Jesus, into our community. And then it's God's work to bring people to himself. So, pancakes.
Yes.
What happened? Pancake Tuesday.
Well, Peter's partly responsible for me getting involved. I've been looking through the talks on spiritual gifts and listening, and I was just sitting at the computer praying, how does this apply to me, Lord? And Vivian rang at that second and said, how about getting involved in Pancake Day? So it was really a joint effort with Vivian. And it was really an opportunity for the church to have a link event for friends to come along to, for just, we even had people just walking off the street seeing that the church was open and asked to come along. So we provided pancakes for, I think it was nearly 100 people. We had a fantastic team of people with gifts in catering, in design, people doing games. It's just lovely to see people with different gifts using those gifts, and just having people from outside the church come in and conversations. It was obviously the first time we'd done that event, and it was a challenge not knowing how many people were going to turn up. But just seeing happy kids, it was a bit chaotic, but there was lots of happy kids, and just seeing my own children want to get involved and take part as well in reaching out to others. So it was a good event. We've learnt a lot, and if we do it again, we can make it even better. So it was fantastic.
I was there. The pancakes were brilliant. And I got an opportunity to just share the love of Christ with two people. One came from Harrowby, and another lady just walked in off the street, actually. And quite naturally, at the table, I was able just to share something of the love of Jesus with two pancake eaters. So, Maggie, that was great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, that's just a little bit of how the vision is working out. But you need to come tonight to just learn a little bit more and to concentrate a little bit more on this issue of spiritual gifts, how we can recognize those gifts, how we can use them for the glory of God. But we do need to do some work in our building as this vision is growing. So Donald, come and tell us a little bit about 108 and what's happening there.
Well, as Gordon's previously mentioned, last year we took possession of 108. You can see it just there, and the yard came as part of the package as well. So that's just an outline of the sprawling premises that we have here. The only block we don't have is the one just to the left of the yard there. That's the Commonwealth. So once we take over the Commonwealth... Yeah, so that's the current layout. And since then, a small team have been kind of working away at what the possibilities are, what the practical immediate needs are, and just how we can move forward. And that sort of ranges from legislative stuff like changing its use to rather than sort of being a shop to being church premises, and that'll benefit us financially. The issues of what we do when we change things structurally, that's just a bureaucratic nightmare, and we're just in the middle of that at the moment. But we have been thinking and we have been looking at things and doing certain things, and already people have been down there helping, and quite a bit of work has been done, but by a few. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through a lot of detail today, because next Sunday we will have the opportunity of looking at it in a little bit more detail, and more importantly, the opportunity to sit down and chat through some sketches, some drawings, and just let me know what the team know what you think, and as we move forward to develop our thoughts. But potentially, we have some ideas of what could happen, and if Amy could put on the next slide, that's sporting black and white, and now we've got a little bit of colour there. And we've divided it into possible phases of the development. Phase one is just 108 Botchergate, and as we consulted with different groups over a period of time, the main things that came forward were space, the need for space, the need to move out and use and have flexible space that's accessible, and that's what we're sort of bearing in mind as we're trying to do that, and we've got some ideas. So phase one is the old Whitehead shop, ground floor and first floor. Then possibly move on to phase two, the yard area, be an ideal opportunity to provide without restricting us in the future, a simple temporary weatherproof structure there that would create good sort of indoor space that would be multi-purpose. As the church has grown and as its use is fairly intensive week in, week out, it's the opportunity to look and redevelop the kitchen and sort of have something that is more in line with the kind of use that we have now, something that's maybe more industrial type facility. So the opportunity to do that would be there. We could then look at the area behind the Whitehead shop. There's a small area there which could easily be developed into a two-storey building, providing, say, a suite of offices or rooms, counselling rooms, that type of thing. Which would then, if that happened, we could then look at phase five, which is the area above the coffee shop at the moment, and the pool room just through the corridor there. And develop that, the upstairs, into possibly a large area with divisible rooms, providing a lot of sort of small sort of, rooms that could be used for anything. And downstairs, a new suite of ladies, gents and children's toilets could be put there, which is central to the building.